Blog Talk Radio.
Our special all-star in-studio guest, for about 40 minutes into today's program around our subject. And then we're going to open the lines up for your audience participation, at which time we welcome your questions and comments. Our global listening audience, we love this time. Why? Because it allows us to impart into your lives on a more personal level, and the interactive environment is often very rich, and we love that. So we encourage you, our global listening audience, to chime right on in at the appropriate time. And as the millennials would say, don't be scared. We're here to support you. On today's installment of Motivational Mondays with yours truly, Master Motivator Coach Adams, we're evaluating our relationship with money in our new 2021 Money Matters series, and I'm so excited about, and you'll hear a little bit more about our in-studio money coach. Before we jump into today's topic, we ask that you take a moment. Do us a favor. Will you do this for me? Can I just get you to do this for me? Really? No, seriously. Can you do this for me? Okay. So I want you to take a moment to invite someone to join you for today's broadcast. Allow those social media juices to flow right on someone's Facebook wall. Send a tweet, a text, a DM, go old school, send an email, a message in the bottle, a carrier pigeon. Bottom line, I think you get it. Do whatever you need to do to invite someone to join you for today's broadcast. In advance, we thank you so much. We extend our gracious, heartfelt thanks for your support with expanding our outreach. If you don't already have your pens and notepads sitting in front of your desktop or laptop, you got your smartphone with your notes, whatever you need, your tablets, your iPads, you need to grab it so you can capture the richness that will be shared in today's installment of Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams. Our in-studio guest, Tony Jackson, is a powerhouse in his field, and he truly is an all-star. The Real Money Coach is back for our Money Matters series, and in our last installment with the Real Money Coach, on December the 28th, if you missed it, we discussed smart money goals, and wow, it was powerful. Today, we will grow in a better understanding on our relationship with money. Let's welcome in our money expert, the Real Money Coach himself, Mr. Tony Jackson. Welcome to the boardroom, Tony.
Coach Adams, thank you so much. Your energy is infectious. Man, I love coming on your show. It's just like I'm pumped up. Once I hear you for a few minutes and you do the intro, listen, it is game on. Love it, love it. Thank you so much for having me here on this very, very special day.
You know what, Tony? It is always an honor to have you, and I'm so excited about our Money Matters series. Our Motivational Mondays audience will have the pleasure of you being in studio 6 times out of this year, every other month, the third Monday of the month. We welcome the Real Money Coaches, and we're so excited about that. And you're right, today is truly a special day as we honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know, I was wondering, Tony, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but I was wondering if you have a favorite Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. quote that you can share. While you're processing, you know, I'm going to go ahead and share one of my favorite quotes, and you know, with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., it's so hard because he said so many dynamic and powerful things. I could say many, but today I posted one of two, and this one I love so much. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I love that because, of course, coaching is all about moving forward, and we got to keep the momentum. So thank you, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So, Tony, again, I know I put you on the spot. Do you happen to have a favorite quote by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, actually, you know, that's pretty easy for me, Coach Adams, because this is the one that stands out to me the most is faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase.
Oh,
that,
yes.
That's one of my favorite quotes of his. What's that?
I said, oh, yes, that's one of my favorites as well. I mean, like I said, there are so many. There are so many.
You absolutely.
Know,
absolutely.
Yeah. I am just so thrilled to have you back, as we stated just a moment ago. Because, you know, a part of the focus and the vision for Motivational Mondays is to bring tools that individuals in pursuit of their vision and their purpose, they can feel more equipped. And, of course, money matters is such a part of that. And so I'm so excited, again, about our regular series on Money Matters. But, you know, when you and I spoke about today's topic, your relationship with money, I must say, you really have me so intrigued with the richness of the nuggets that you will kind of take us on and give to us, that you'll drop in the boardroom today. But before we do that, you know, you have such a richness to your background, and I was just wondering, and I often ask this question, I love to do this, if you were to tell people who Tony Jackson is, beyond your bio or including elements from that, who would you say that Tony Jackson is?
Well, that's a very good question, and I love that question because it does make us reflect on are we who we want to say that we are? Are we really living that out? And for me, if someone were to say who Tony Jackson is, a preacher, a child of God, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and just an overall good dude, right? And someone who loves what he does, loves to teach financial education and help people with their finances and their financial wellness. That's who I am at heart. And, you know, the thing about it, Coach Adams, is when you're doing something that you really love and your purpose, and for me, you know, when my ministry and my work are one and they come together, it's really just quite invigorating. And I love just doing what I do. I mean, I actually love what I do. I just enjoy it, and I have a great time. And hopefully, you know, along that way, we've done some good. So, you know, but first of all, you know, I had something in my office. It was there, it's still there, is I have a God to serve, a family to love, and a job to do. And if we keep things in that perspective and in that order, I think, you know, we got the right priorities.
Well, you know, one of the things that I so appreciate about you is the fact that you are truly passionate about what you do in serving others and educating and allowing and assisting them with being more equipped concerning money matters. And so, you know, I definitely say, hey, you're following your dreams, you are living your purpose and doing what you were created to do. And speaking of doing what you were created to do, let's just jump right on into this subject tonight, your relationship with money. Tony, I'm on the edge of my seat. What insight do you have with this particular subject? I know you're going to really cause us to think, and it's going to be truly provoking. I'm ready to jump right on in. I have my notepad. I'm ready. I got my pen. Let's do it.
All right. Awesome. But, you know, and like I said, when we spoke earlier, I want to give homage to Dr. King tonight because I listened to several of his sermons, and you know, I have a bunch of them on cassette tape, you know, and you know, one of the things that I just wanted to talk about as we go into this relationship with money is that so often his very last speech, his very last sermon that he gives, we hear the sound bite quite often from it. And it's the mountaintop speech, you know, where he talks about, I'd like to live a long life, and longevity has its place, and I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will, and, you know, we as a people will get to the promised land. I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. And in that, he was talking about he wasn't worried, wasn't concerned about his life, and he just wanted to do God's will, that he wasn't worried about anything. And so that is the soundbite we hear. And as I have studied that particular speech, that soundbite that we often hear is about the last minute and a half of about a 41-minute address. And I think it's significant when we're talking about money and money matters is that if we look at some of the other things that he was actually addressing in that particular sermon, I think it's very vital. For example, as part of that, he talks about that we have to be anchored in an external direction and action of power of economic withdrawal. And he went on to say, and he talked about that we are poor people when you compare us to white society in America. He said we're poor, but not to forget that collectively, it means all of us together, that collectively we're richer than all of the nations in the world except for nine nations. And Coach Adams, the remarkable thing to me is that this was in 1968, that when we look collectively, economy, African-American folks in our country, that we would be the ninth largest economy in the world. And then
that's
we bring
powerful.
That forward. Yeah, and then bring that forward to today. I mean, even in 2014, the statistic says that we were still the 15th wealthiest nation in the world. And that's if we all could learn to work together. And, you know, and the question becomes, if we're such a powerful people together, then why do we continue to be at the bottom of so many economic scales? And I'm not talking about individuals. There's individuals who've done well and you know, thank God, you know, I make a nice living and these type of things. But by and large, you know, when we look at the economy, if we look at the plight of economics in the black community, even according to the Economic State of Black America that was published in 2020, is that, you know, we have our home ownership is at 42% compared to other ethnic groups that are at 73%. You know, we have a fraction of the wealth of other white households, you know, 59 cents to a dollar. And we have all these statistics that really point out that there are some issues that we have to deal with. And there's some internal issues, and we have to begin to think about our relationship with money. And I believe that as Dr. King and the Southern Leadership Christian Conference were beginning to deal with the economics, that that's really the thing that caused him to be assassinated. even on that very night before he was assassinated, these were his words. He says, go out and tell your neighbors not to buy Coca-Cola in Memphis. Tell them not to buy Siltec milk. Tell them not to buy Wonder Bread. And he went on to say the reason we're choosing these companies is because they've been unfair to hiring practice. And then what's really, really powerful is that he said this. He said to go downtown in this speech, before all that, that we hear a soundbite, he says, take your money out of the banks downtown and deposit them in the Tri-State Bank, which was the black-owned bank in Memphis. And he says, deposit your money there. And then he went on to say, I'm not doing something that I'm not doing myself, that we're not doing myself. He said this. He said, put your money in the black banks. And then he went on to say, put and get your insurance from black insurance companies. He said, we need to have a bank in and an insurance in. And so really what he was talking about here is the power of economics. And if we don't begin to realize that we are a powerful force economically, we'll continue to struggle in all these other statistics that we can read in this report of the economic state of Black America in 2020. And so as I begin to really look and unpack this, the problem is that our relationship with our money. And when you think about it, I've been married for 28 years. And if I don't pay attention to my wife, she's going to feel neglected. And if we don't pay closer attention to our money and to the things that we're doing with our money, then it's going to erode from us. It's going to go. And I always say this, is if we don't tell our money where to go, it'll go where it wants to. And so we have to begin to look at our relationship.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. We have to look at our relationship with money. And that, you know, really stimulates curiosity in me, because when we evaluate our relationship with money, I'm just curious, what was your early relationship with money? Because I know we've gone back to, obviously, speaking of, you know, how we're celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. today, you know, we're going back to 1968 and what he was saying and all that. So we know that there's longevity in this relationship. What was your relationship with money growing up?
Well, and I'm glad you asked that, because when we do our classes, we always go back. And the very first class we deal with when we're dealing with financial psychology is, where did you learn about money? What's your first recollection of money? And for me, I can remember my first memory of really money is understanding that my dad worked in an oil factory. He worked there for 38 years. And what I remember is that my dad would get off work. He'd go to the local bank because they used to get a check then, right? They got a paper check. He'd stop at the bank, cash the check, bring it home, give the cash to my mother, and then she would take care of all of the bills. And as I got older, I realized, how in the world did she do all that she did with that little money? And so my first memory of money is just that, just remembering them and my dad coming home, giving the money to my mom, counted out on the table. He counted out, and she would then make things happen in terms of, you know, making sure the bills were paid, making sure that we had food on the table, and all those types of things. And so, you know, that's but we never actually talked about money around the kitchen table. We never had a discussion as a family about money. It was just a matter of what I saw with my eyes. And then that kind of developed that relationship that I would have longevity in terms of money. And so many of us have had influences, because one of the concepts we also talk about is more knowledgeable others. And so who are the more knowledgeable others in your financial life? Who are you listening
so what
to?
Some,
where did we learn about
yeah.
money?
You know, I thank you for your transparency and sharing your early memory of money. How do people leverage or move from that early image of money, especially if it wasn't a positive one, if it wasn't one that really supports them in developing and growing financially? Because it's been stated that we can be the biggest consumers. So what wisdom and insight would you have concerning that early relationship with money and how one would make that shift to be more empowered?
Well, I think it begins to identify, I think the beginning is to identify is your relationship with money. And there's really four main ones that we teach and bring out. And the first one of those is money avoidance. Money avoidance. And what happens with money avoidance is that we actually, because of our upbringing or wherever we learned about money, whether it was good or bad or what have you, is that when you have a money avoidance mindset in relationship with money, what it can lead to is it could lead to you spending all of your money as soon as you get it. And so we have this relationship where we just avoid money, and we don't do it consciously. It's almost subconscious. And it's not that we don't avoid it, but it, in essence, slips right through our hands. So we have this negative relationship because as soon as I begin to save some money, I got to go out and spend it. And that's where
the consumerism really comes in. Now, Tony, let me ask you a question. I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off. I wanted to ask you a question around this point of money avoidance. And so money avoidance, would that be, you know, the bills come in, you don't want to open them, you don't have a budget. Is this a part of what you're speaking about when you say money avoidance?
It's all part of it. And so I really just avoid anything to do with money. I don't have a budget. I don't save, and, you know, those are situations where you're constantly putting out fires because you haven't taken care of things, and then they become urgent because you avoid the whole topic of money. It's just, you know, easy come, easy go with really no relevance to, you know, what do I need to save something? Do I need to have a safety net? Do I need to have those type of things, and so it just comes in and it just goes right out, and that's really
so today,
what we call money,
to our
money avoidance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to say today to our Motivational Mondays audience, don't be the ostrich with your head in the sand avoiding. Tony, what's the next
yeah,
one? You have me on the edge of my seat here.
So then what you move into is really some people actually have a worship relationship with their money. It's a money worship. And so they feel like all of their problems, all of their issues, all of the ills of life will be solved with money. If I can just get more money. And so they're so focused on getting more money, and so often it has an impact, and their relationships suffer because they really just worship their money. It could be not just cash, but it could be things. It could be I gotta have the best car, I gotta have the biggest house, but it's really a money worship. And what sometimes propels people into a money worship relationship is the fact because maybe they had a lack of money in their upbringing. And so I'm going to do exactly the opposite because I didn't have this when I was growing up. I'm going to make sure that I have the Gucci, and I'm going to make sure I have the Louis. I'm going to make sure I have the very best of everything. Because when I was growing up, I couldn't have any of those things. And then sometimes it's not even about our own personal possessions, but I'm going to make sure that when my kids grow up, they're not going to want anything because I wanted things when I was young and I couldn't get it. So they're going to have the latest Jordans. They're going to have the latest tennis shoes, the designers, all that. And so we begin to worship our money and our possessions.
Idolatry, in essence, it is an idol for us. And
absolutely.
You know what's so interesting is that those that truly have money, the millionaire next door, you don't even know it because they don't have all of that bling bling. Those that are trying to show you and flash it, you know, this idolatry, this worship of money, they don't have it to the fullness of it. You know what I mean? So they're trying
Correct.
To show you what they have and all of that, but they don't really have it. They're symbolizing it. It's not really who they are, but they want to make you think that I have it because of the worship and the idolatry towards it. I love that. So we said avoidance. We said worship. What's our next one?
Well, and you kind of led us right in there. It's money status. And so people think that money and their possessions give them status. And so what happens is they begin to spend, they begin to have large credit accounts, and they just buy all these things in order to look as though they are got a certain status. And many times our people have status anxiety, right? So I have to look like I'm making it. And we've even coined the phrase, right? You know, fake it until you make it. Well, you know what? If faking it until you make it puts you in deep debt, you better stop faking it because you ain't making it, right? And so here's
right.
the thing. This is one of the things that we must say. What happens is that poor people stay poor by acting rich. But rich people
so
stay
true.
Rich by acting poor.
So true.
And so, you know, money and possessions really don't get you status. And I know we live in a materialistic world, and I know that money is important in our society. You know, just look around us. We see that all the time. But it can't be the driving thing that your self-worth cannot be tied to your bank account because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. It doesn't matter what's in your bank account. God loves you the way you are. God made you the way you are. He made you just the way you are. And so having a big bank account, having a big car, having all these status symbols, what do we say? We spend all our money trying to impress people who really don't care. You know, so we spend
the
money
Joneses,
we don't have to impress people we don't have. Keeping up with the Joneses. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting, Tony, about what you said and what you shared, and this was such a revelation for me in my what was I in my 20s, my late 20s, not quite 30. I was in the real estate industry, and I encountered this realtor, and we grew really close. I was supporting them at the time. And what was so interesting, and this was really like a wow for me, and this speaks to what you're talking about, he lived 20% below his earnings. And so this speaks to what you're speaking about, that those that really have money, they, quote unquote, as you stated, they live poor. That word poor is like, but they live beneath their true means. They can acquire
right.
more, but they make the decision to live beneath their means. And that's how they continue, and they understand the value of savings and all that, the priorities. So we talked about avoidance, the avoidance of money. Just don't even think about it at all. The worship of money, the idolatry of money, the status of money. I know for me, my image was when I was in real estate, it wasn't about purpose and living a life on purpose. It was about the status. Let me get the nice bling bling thing, the biggest house, the, you know, car, and da-da-da-da-da. So what's the next one that you have for us to chew on?
Yeah, and so I did want to do that. As you were talking about living under your means, it's a wonderful book called The Richest Man in Babylon. I'd really recommend it for a lot of people to read. And the premise of that book is to really live off of 70%. And so the premises of the book, if you read it, it's about living off 70%, 10% you save, and then 20% you use to reduce your debt or invest. So you really brought that to my mind. But the fourth one is money diligent and vigilant. And so what happens here is that we are so vigilant about our money. And really, we would say it like this, a penny pincher, right? A miser, someone who has money, but they just refuse to spend. You know, they have the money to maybe even repair something, but they rather just let it stay unrepaired. They hoard their money. And so, and that's unhealthy, too. And so often I meet with people and people that I'm coaching, especially those who are in retirement and that type of thing. And oftentimes I have to convince them to, hey, it's okay to spend some of your money. You've worked all your life. You've saved, done all these things. It's okay to take a vacation. It's okay to buy yourself a new car. But, you know, they're so diligent about their money. And some of that comes, too, from, you know, well, you know, I remember we didn't have any. So I saved, and I pinched every penny, and I cut every corner, and I made things work. And, you know, that's such a marvelous skill to have. But you get to the point where sometimes it's okay to enjoy yourself. You work hard for what you do, and you know, for your money, and you saved, and you've done your proper budgeting, and you got things in the right perspective, it's okay. It's simply okay to have something nice. And so that's the fourth one, which is people just would hoard their money so hard and really become stressed about spending anything at all. And the studies show that the number one fear of seniors that will run out of money in retirement. And I understand that. I understand why. I understand that. But oftentimes people just don't want to let go because it's really fear that holds them back. And so,
you know, what
really
I love about what you're sharing, what I love about what you're sharing, Tony, is that we have to have that healthy balance in our relationship with money. And so
there
I love
you
to give us these four areas that this is not the healthy balance with your relationship with money. And so, you know, I want to thank our global listening audience for tuning in. If you're just joining us, we are speaking with the real money coach, Tony Jackson. He's giving us some insight on our relationship with money. We have talked about that you can avoid, you can worship, you're looking at the status and the vigilance. And so now I want us to talk about what is the healthy point of view that we should have with money, Tony. And then I want to open the lines up and get some questions answered today. I'm sure some of our global listening audience is probably sitting on the edge of their seat thinking, oh my gosh, I have a question for the money coach. So why don't you go ahead and share with us what should the relationship with money look like?
Well, and you hit it right on the head. It's about having a healthy balance. And, you know, and how do we have a healthy balance is we have to be intentional. And I think that's the most important thing is being intentional and knowing where we are. And, you know, you really can't properly manage your money. You can't properly, you know, anchor yourself in your decision if you don't really know where you are. And sometimes you know, that works both ways. Sometimes it's like, I don't know how much money is going in or going out. And then there's other times, well, I have the savings, but I don't know how much is there. And so we really have to be intentional about our relationship with our money, just like we do with other folks. If you don't pay attention to those relationships, if you don't pay attention and be attentive to it, that's when we can get off balance. And I think, so that's the key. And I talked about this last year. I may have mentioned this last time I was on your show, but you need to have a date with your money. You need to have a date with your money where you have a day of the week that you sit down, and whether you're single, you have a date with your money. If you're married, you better have a double date with your money. But you need to have a date with your money so that you can understand exactly where you are. And the more volatile your situation is, the more often you have to meet. And so if you are someone that, you know, from check to check, then you better be meeting every check. You better be meeting in between. And as time grows, maybe you can stretch that out. And I'll tell you, my wife and I, we've been married 28 years, and we have date night every Friday night. Every Friday night. We've been doing it for, you know, we've been married 28 years. We've been doing it for a long, long, long time. And that helps keep our relationship healthy. Now, we may only go down to Chipotle or something and have us a little burrito bowl or something like that, but it's our time to get away. And you have to have the same type of attention when it comes to your money, when it comes to your finances. And let me say it that way. Let's say finances, because when we say finances, we're not just talking about your cash, but are you paying attention? Are you intentional when it comes to your credit, when it comes to your loans, when it comes to those other things, your retirement planning, your life insurance, all those things that are so important in our financial footprint and creating financial wellness. Another one is having your proper will and estate plans in place. And, you know, these are all some things that, you know, we may unpack and dig down and get a little deeper in as we continue the series through the year. But those are some things that I think make you financially healthy, is having a good grasp on those type of things.
And, you know, Tony, I love all of what you have just shared, and especially having a date with your money. And you did, in fact, share that the last time. And the reason why I love that, especially with today's topic, your relationship with money, you know, this is so key that many of us, as you mentioned, we avoid. So when we're avoiding, we're not having a date with our money because we're avoiding that very topic, that very subject. We're
correct.
Not even willing to dig in and, you know, do what we need to do. Tony, I'm just so excited. I want to give our global listening audience an opportunity to start jumping into the queue, to asking questions. I know you have some greater richness you're going to share with us, and we're going to continue in that. But I do want to, because this is such an important topic, money matters, I want to give our audience an opportunity to play in the sandbox with us, as I would say, and to chime in. So to our global listening audience, this is the time in our program when we invite you to share in the discussion. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue to ask a question or make a comment around today's subject. If you are sitting in front of your electronic device, you do need to dial in, and the dial-in number is 516-453-9374. 516-453-9374. If you're in front of your electronic device, you do need to dial in. In any case, press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. You know, I often say to those that are regular listeners to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams that you would not have your coach or money expert in the room and you not take the opportunity, pull on their wisdom. It looks like, Tony, I'm looking. Oh, I thought we had someone in the queue. Yes, we do. So I'm going to go to our caller, area code 310, last four digits 2567. You are live on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams and our in-studio guest.
Good evening, Coach Adams and Tony. Great show. I have a question for Tony. So suggesting that we have a date night with our money, single or married. Normally on a date, you talk about things. So can you give some suggestions on when I'm having that date night with my money? What should I be looking at? What should I be talking about with myself, even if I'm single, regarding my money? Thank you. Great show.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I love that. Well, you know, when you think about it, if you go on a date, what do? You ask, well, how are you? You know, and you kind of get a feel for where the other person is and what they're thinking. And so I think some of the things that we have to talk about is, you know, some of the obvious thing is how much do I have coming? You know, how much money's coming in? What are my expenses going out? And so that's very important, is to understand, okay, and you may be someone that gets the same amount of money every week from a job, or you may be on commission or something like that where it could vary. But I think you have to look at what is the intake and what is the outtake. And so what are my fixed expenses? What are my variable expenses? What expenses are important? What things are urgent? And I think much of it becomes just having a plan, just having a spending plan. So some of the questions that I'd want to know is, okay, what am I expecting to come in? What are my fixed expenses? What are my variable expenses, even this week or anything like that? So those are some of the questions. How am I doing in my savings? What are my goals? Having those SMART goals that we talked about before. How am I doing in my goals? How much money is in the account? You know, those types of things. And if you're talking, a couple, is what is our agreed upon rules for the money? You know, do we have rules in terms of any expense over a certain dollar amount? We're going to talk first. What are our rules of engagement with our money?
Well, Tony, I thank you for answering our caller's question. And caller, thank you for your question. I trust that that has given you some insight around having a date with your money. You know, Tony, when I think about having a date, I think about romance as well. We do have another caller, but I'm intrigued to know, how would you romance your money on a date?
Well, it's important to reward yourself. And that's the romance part, is when you have,
okay,
like, having saved a goal. If you have a financial goal or money goal that you're going to save, have an idea of how are you going to reward yourself. How are you going to reward yourself? You know, is that meaning buying yourself something? Does that mean taking a vacation? Does that mean, you know, a weekend getaway? But have goals, but then reward yourself. And that's how you have that romantic relationship with your money. Because it can't be, you can't be all business. You know, I'm not one to tell people never buy a Starbucks. If you like Starbucks, you should get one. But just plan for it and know where you're going to cut in other areas. And so, you know, you got to do those things. Even as we're growing and as we're saving and building our retirement fund, is reward yourself. And, again, that's the same if you're single or a couple. You know, we have a goal. We're going to save this much, and then we're going to reward ourselves. Now, you don't reward yourself and undo all the good that you've done, but certainly
right,
you want to reward yourself. And you want to enjoy the journey. You want to enjoy it. And you'll find that as you talk more and you plan more, it'll be more enjoyable. Money won't be a area of stress.
I love it. You know, Tony, we have another caller, and I want to transition our next caller in. Area code 214, last four digits 1656. You are live on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams and the Real Money Coach, Tony Jackson.
It has been a very, very inspirational hour so far. I realize that there really isn't enough time in this hour tonight. I have a comment and I have some questions, so you may write them and you can talk to me about them all at once. One of the things I didn't realize I was doing was having a date with my money. And every other day I'll go to my bank account and I'm checking my balance and making sure that everything is fine in there, make sure that if I'm moving from this credit union to the bank, I want to make sure that I have enough saved and I don't want to go below my balance that I have set. One of the things I wanted to share that I do, what I've learned, and I didn't know I was dating my money, is when I've had to start credit. I have been debt-free for 25 years, and because I have a new venture coming up in my life, I needed to start credit. So what I do as I've been visiting my money is I will purchase on a credit, but I only purchase it because I have the money to pay for it. So I purchase what I know I have the cash money to pay, that it won't deplete my credit or put me in debt. So, and then in a couple of weeks, I will pay that money on that credit card. So that way I'm not paying any interest on that money. My question is, I've also been told I needed to have I had to change the way I think about money because I'm in the ministry and I am of that fabric that God makes full provision for my life, and whatever I get into my ministry, I give it right back into the ministry, or I give it out to people that have great needs. So I've had to change my way of looking at money in reference to building finances in the ministry that helps me to go out into the highways and byways. My question now is two things, because I constantly speak to young people, particularly young women, about securing their future and their retirements. So my question is, do you think that annuities, retirement annuities, are a good way to go, and what age should they start it? And my second question is, do you believe, or what is your opinion on municipal bonds? Do you think that is a good investment? Thank you so much for taking my questions and comments, and thank you for the very inspirational hour tonight. God bless you both.
And Tony, before you jump in, because we're kind of right at that time of wrap up, I want you to give some information, but I also want to make sure that you let our global listening audience know how they can connect with you offline for more in-depth support. But I go right ahead with those two questions there.
Okay. And so, yeah, absolutely. I can be contacted at tony@therealmoneycoach.com is my email address, and I can also give my phone number too. But my email address is tony@therealmoneycoach.com. And my phone number, my direct cell phone number, is 517-395-7885. Tony Jackson at therealmoneycoach.com. And that's also our website, therealmoneycoach.com. Phone number, 517-395-7885. 1-800-875-5785. And thank you so much for sharing. You know, so often when I teach classes in churches and different venues, that we learn from each other. And you shared some good things, and, you know, I'll just encourage you to continue doing some of the things that you're doing, making sure to monitor your credit, make sure that you're monitoring it, knowing what's going on with your scores and et cetera. And then also on those credit cards that you have, you may want to make a phone call to them and find out when they report to the credit bureaus. As you're looking at building your credit, making sure that, number one, they report to all three, the three major credit bureaus, and then find out when that reporting is done so that you can make sure that you always have a very, very low balance, under 10% of the available credit on the days that they do report to the credit bureaus. That's very important. And in terms of your annuities question, it's a great question, and annuities is a very good tool. I'm a licensed insurance agent as well in you know, 17 states. And the question always boils down to this when I'm talking to someone about annuity or that type of retirement investment is, number one, is you know, where the source of the money comes from, because that makes a big difference in how it's going to be treated. Number two, what do you want the money to do? And number three, when do you want it to do it? And once we begin to know those three questions, we can then begin to, you know, make some recommendations. And as far as annuity, there are so many different types of annuities out there. It really has to do with, again, what's the purpose, where do they want to go, and, again, your age, you're right, that can make a big difference in those type of things. And there are some really some great, great tools out there. One of the benefits of the annuities that really people really like is the fact that they're safe. You're not going to lose money due to the market in most cases, unless there's a certain type of annuity that's not that way. But anyway, I encourage you just to reach out to me, you know, with some more specific questions, and I'd love to answer. But, you know, it really just depends on the age and when they plan on using the money. Do they want to use the money for income purposes, or is it for, you know, just pure investment purposes? And so those are important questions to know whether or not an annuity is the right fit. And then if it is, which annuity is the right fit? And there's other things, too, that are very, very, very helpful. Cash value life insurance is a great investment as well. So there's a lot of great different choices. So love to have those one-on-one conversations. It doesn't cost you anything for a free consultation with me. So if you want to reach out to me, please feel free to do that.
I love that. And thank you, Tony, for taking the time, one, to just go into the Motivational Mondays audience with your richness of expertise and giving us some things to really process around concerning money matters. So appreciate that. I wanted to just simply clarify, because I want to make sure they have the accurate contact information. I heard Tony at therealmoneycoach.com, but then I also heard Tony Jackson at therealmoneycoach.com. Is there one? I want to make sure our audience is clear in how to contact you, because we have to wrap things up, but I want to make sure they can connect with you.
Yeah, it is Tony at therealmoneycoach.com. Tony at therealmoneycoach.com. You know, it's like we have a couple different emails, and girl, that probably got mixed in there. But yeah, feel free to email me at Tony at therealmoneycoach.com. And I will get in, and I will respond and do all that I can to give you some great information and try to point you in the right direction.
You know, and what I love is that you are a partner now with Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, that you are really partnering with us and with our audience. So take advantage of the offer that has been given for the free consultation. You have the contact information. And speaking of great investments, as we wrap it up, and Tony, I thank you again so much. This is the final week for you to get in on Today Matters, my up-and-coming private transformational mastermind roundtable, 12 daily practices to guarantee tomorrow's success. We're going to look at two practices each week over a six-week period. You still have limited time to squeeze right on in. If you're listening in to Motivational Mondays today, I'm going to give you 25% off of your investment in sowing a seed into yourself, because I support you with your money matters. I thank you for tuning in, and you can give our team a call at 310-289-2101, 310-289-2101, or email admin@coachadams.com, admin@coachadams.com. Thank you for tuning in to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams. This is Coach Adams signing off for now, and I leave you with this. I coach and you win.